Company culture is key to creating a place where people want to work. And as we found in this episode of Startup Capital, company culture can add a lot of value to the experience of employees, management, and even customers. For episode 3 of Startup Capital Season 2, we chatted over Skype with Mindy Perkins and Tom Dersipolsky, two Tallahassee business leaders who are well known for creating a workplace culture worth envying. Both companies showcased today have achieved low employee turnover and high customer satisfaction, and we think culture has a lot to do with that. To learn more about how these two major Tallahassee companies work, and work so well, stay tuned.
You have a slight advantage when you're from Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee.
We already have successes. We just have to continue to communicate the successes.
I love Tallahassee.
The old adage that the sum is greater than its parts, I think, could be more true for the city of Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee.
I wanted to be the change I wanted to see.
Obviously, we want to be the business capital of Florida.
I love Tallahassee.
I think millennials are really interested in business models that are both socially impactful as well as profitable.
I love Tallahassee.
I think, it takes government, private sector, nonprofit sector, students like yourself, the startup community, all kind of pulling the rope in the same direction to get there.
I love Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee. It's the startup capital.
I'm really happy to have both of you on the call today. I'm super excited to talk about this topic. And we've heard through the grapevine that you're both uniquely qualified to talk about the importance of company culture and building a successful workplace and building an environment where everyone can contribute to their fullest ability and drive the company forward. So I want to kick off and get a little bit into who both of you are, set the stage a little bit. So we have Mindy Perkins, CEO and president of VR Systems. Mindy, could you just take a second and briefly describe VR to everyone? Tell us a little bit about what you all do.
Absolutely. We are an elections technology company here in Tallahassee. We sell products to county elections officials across the United States, including voter registration systems, electronic poll books, and hosting websites. So everything that the elections offices uses to do their everyday duties and election duties, we offer those products. And I always say that we don't count the votes, but we do everything else.
So you've had a busy few years here.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then we got Tom Dersipolsky, president of Bowstern. Bowstern's a full-stack branding, marketing, and advertising firm, but they've got a unique and awesome culture. Tom, could you describe a little bit about what you guys do?
Sure. We have been in business 7 years, and we present ourselves to the world as a fully integrated marketing firm. So we've got what we believe to be the finest web designers and graphic designers, advertising, public relations, social media, so that when a client comes to our doorstep, we can address the need they have right there.
That's great. So I want to lead off with just an initial question. When I say company culture, what comes to mind for you and your company? Maybe it's a story, but Mindy, if I say company culture, what do you lead off with? What comes to mind?
Well, we at VR, we are an employee-owned company. We have been for 7 years. And our culture before we became employee-owned was very similar to what it was like after. A lot of employee commitment, and we've always said if we treat our employees with respect and treat them well, then they will in turn treat our customers well and do the right thing, going the extra mile for our customers. So that is what I think our culture embodies. And now that we're employee owned, the employees benefit from the success of the company.
When it's employee owned like that, you see they have extra buy-in, that effect cascades downhill into how they treat clients.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tom, what about you? I mean, what do you think of when I say company culture?
The very first thing that comes to mind is how our employees treat one another. And I mean, that is the beginning of the day and all the way through, in good times and in bad. And the way they behave and treat one another, much like Mindy was saying, articulates and flows through to our clients. And when you walk in our back door where most of the employees park, there's a plaque that says the kindest, smartest, hardest working, you know, all these traits go down. But the very first characteristic we look for in people is kindness. The way we treat one another, delivery comes in from one of our local printers. We stand up and greet that person and talk to them and look in their eyes and care about how their day is going. And I think when I think of culture, I think about the way people treat each other.
Yeah. So it almost sounds like just like building a respect peer to peer, not even as much top down, but how do people peer to peer in the environment treat each other and treat vendors, treat clients?
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, trying to lead by example. I don't need to take my trash out. There's somebody that'll handle that. But early on, when we were developing the company, if my trash can was full, I would purposefully carry it through the office on the way to my car. And it kind of set the baseline that there's not work beneath us to do it, especially when it comes to servicing and helping one another and our clients. And so I think when you see it demonstrated in the workplace, you see people helping and supporting each other. And willing to step up, even with taking out the trash. That flows through.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It reminds me of a time I was in Thomasville, Georgia, walking with a city commissioner, and he stopped our conversation walking down the sidewalk to pick up a piece of trash off the sidewalk, just put it in his pocket. And I thought, wow.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just a level of ownership. He feels like he works for the city. Mm-hmm. Mindy, do you feel like there's ever been a time, I mean, you talked about how it flows down to treating customers. Has there ever been a time when your company culture gave you a competitive advantage in business?
Oh, absolutely. We are the only employee-owned elections company in our elections industry. And the way our customers see us and the way our those in our marketplace see us is that we are committed to our employees and they are in turn committed to our customers. And that grows, that view of how we treat our customers grows as our company grows.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. There's something that's come out. I think both of you have used the word commitment in some mm-hmm. form. Tom, you did a minute ago. Mindy, just mm-hmm. now. I'm wondering, Tom, I know that you're a veteran of the Navy, mm-hmm. Which is awesome, and we thank you for that. Do you feel like your time in the military taught you anything about culture that you've actually applied within your company, how you build it, how you run it, how you manage it? And if so, what is that?
Well, I think the strongest example of leadership in the military was just the fact that whether you were the admiral or the E1, you always took care of the person next to you. That in a bad situation, the person right next to you had your back and you had theirs. And so in our culture, you may have a project that you're responsible for, but I guarantee the crew at bow stern is going to step up and get your back if you get sick or if you're starting to slip behind. And so I think that kind of teamwork component rolled through. And then the second and most difficult piece for me as the president of the company is leadership by example, because that's something we say a lot. And I struggle with that. I have trouble keeping up, but they see me trying hard and working very, very hard. So hopefully kind of moves through to them if they understand that the owner and president of the company or co-owner and president of the company is really, really trying hard to better himself.
Yeah. And do you have an open kind of relationship with your employees like that? Are you open about the struggles that you're having in that way? Or do you think they perceive that? Or do you keep that closed off?
No, I'm to a certain degree open. You know, I think we all have our own little internal struggles of a personal nature. So we don't have group, you know, sit around kumbaya therapy sessions, but, you know, I'll admit, you know, that, hey, I'm having trouble getting this done and will you help me? Or I need another day and I'm sorry. I've tried to meet this deadline, but I just don't have the copy down yet, or I haven't had an opportunity to review it. So I think taking ownership of your success or your shortcomings and making sure that the team can experience that too creates a learning opportunity for everyone.
Yeah. Well, I think that, and I've struggled with this too, and trying to lead people at Domi, but it seems like sometimes the authenticity and openness does resonate, and whereas like false confidence or leading with some kind of hubris, people see right through that sometimes. Mindy, I'm wondering, in terms of building culture and camaraderie in your company, is there a story or a memory that stands out of maybe a time when you saw your company culture in action, employee helping one another, an employee going above and beyond for a client or something in the workplace, and you were proud of what you saw, is there something that comes to mind?
A recent example is last year, obviously we had multiple elections last year, and there was a problem with one of our customers. And it was a problem that was caused by one of our employees trying to be extra helpful, kind of in a almost an emergency situation. And so, you know, the problem, we were alerted to the problem within the first 30 seconds, and it was essentially all hands on deck to help solve the problem. So we had a team helping solve the problem. We had a technical team kind of observing and keeping it from affecting others. We had myself involved in speaking with the customer. So we had multiple teams synchronized at the same time to help solve this problem for this customer and to stop the bleeding, essentially. And at no time did we consider, well, you know, this employee made a mistake. We should probably let him go. It was, we will learn from this mistake. We will keep it from happening again. But we are all in this together from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, which sort of speaks to what Tom was saying about having the back of the person next to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tom, when did you realize that you had to make building company culture a priority for your day and what you do in leading the company? I mean, how big are you guys now? And was that something you realized when you were 1, 2, 3 people? Or is it something along the way it started to get ahead of you and you thought, man, we've got to make some intentional moves here?
Yeah, no, the vision for our culture and what we wanted to create was present at the first meeting. Kelly Roberts, my business partner, and I met at the Corner Pocket over a beer and talked about doing something together. And one of the first things we spoke about was the type of people we wanted to be with every day, and that we get to choose in life where we work and who we work with, and that culture of leading with kindness and thoughtfulness is always spoken about. We talk about the way we treat each other. If we have any counseling sessions, they're not so much, like Mindy said, about whatever went wrong, but if we're critical of someone, it may be about the way they treated someone else or the way they emotionally reacted to it.
Yeah.
Not the problem itself.
Sure, yeah. But I feel like also you had a little bit of advantage from day one, because any company that comes together over a beer is going to have a pretty decent company culture.
Yes, yeah. We, that matter of fact, in our boardroom, there's a plaque on the wall, and I sat there and was eating chicken wings and having a beer with Kelly, and tore a napkin off like you would at a little pub from the big roll, and didn't have anything to write with, so I borrowed a pen, and we took a bunch of notes and started kicking around brands and names and opportunities, and I found that several years later in my closet. I, for some reason, saved it and thought, man, if this ever works, this will be cool to look at, and it's hanging in our boardroom right now.
That's pretty incredible. You set that intention early on. I have heard rumors of some things you do have in your office, beer taps perhaps. What are some things you guys have in your space that you think facilitate company culture?
So we wanted to have an open concept. So outside of very few offices, mine and Kelly operates as our CEO, and I as the president, and our senior director, HR person, no one else has an office, and it's an open studio concept to help foster collaboration and personal communication. We use all the software in the world to manage projects, but there's nothing like two people sitting around a whiteboard and working something out. So that still happens here. But in our space, we've got putting greens, and we do have, at the end of our hall, these two beautiful beer taps that shoot out. And we have a full-time nursery here for our parents with a nanny. So when our employees grow their families, whether it's a man or a woman, then they could bring their young one to work until they're about a year or two old and have them right here.
Yeah, I think that's really important for retention of employees too, investing in them like that. Mindy, it seems like you guys also have understood that space influences culture. I've heard that you guys have both open offices and private offices that devs can retreat into. How have you gone about building an environment that facilitates collaboration, innovation, but also productivity?
Well, all of our people have individual offices. We have a lot of people on the phone. We have support. We have software testing going on. So there are times where they need to be able to focus and communicate with our customers without, you know, echoing down the hall. We have also become, in the last 3 or 4 years, an agile development shop. So downstairs we have a sprint room. And so our developers, you can find, 80% of them there at any given time. There's sprints going on all the time. So we have developers and software testers and our support staff. And so people have their individual space when they need to be, you know, maybe focused or have a difficult conversation or something like that. And then we also have those open spaces.
That's really interesting because that speaks to adaptability. You've had to stay with the curve to stay ahead.
I have to say it was a challenge. We had, I would say, traditional software developers who were used to the waterfall. That was their comfort zone. When the agile development concept was introduced over time, it was actually a way for our senior developers to transition out of development on their way to retirement. We had two key software developers who did waterfall technique, and we needed to find a way to be able to transfer that knowledge. So the agile process was incorporated in the transition for retirement age developers. So it was kind of we had to make that decision. We had to say, we're not going to be able to do it the way we've done it before because we didn't, form the company. Our senior software developer was one of the founders of the company. So we had to find a way. And it was a challenge. So we have since hired developers who are trained in that methodology. So it's less challenging now. But yeah, that change management was challenging. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really interested to know what specific tactics you guys employ. I know, for example, Mindy, I've heard that you guys have breakfast on Fridays when you do your meetings. What are some other things that you guys do to really, get people excited to come to work every day?
Absolutely. Yes, we have Bagel Fridays.
That's
every
amazing.
Friday mornings at 8:30, you'll find us having some bagels together. So the entire company, we have a remote office, so they connect and have their own breakfast in North Carolina, and we connect remotely there. But that's our weekly staff meeting. It's so important for the different departments in the company to know what everyone else is doing, because we get in our groups and our teams, and sometimes, if we're not collaborating with other teams, we don't know what they're doing and how they're working to meet our strategic goals, right? What is the sales team doing? What is the dev team doing, and all of that, the different product teams. So we use that Friday to brag on each other, to say, hey, Joe, you did a great job, and because you did this is what happened, and
you get a bagel.
Yeah, you too get a bagel.
Exactly.
So that's an example of something. We do cookouts in the parking lot a couple times a year.
Awesome.
Times for the different teams to get together and get to know each other on a personal basis. And we went bowling at Christmas time. We're going to be at the Seminole Reservation doing a cookout next month, and bringing back our retirees and just hanging out, and people can just enjoy the beautiful place there. So we try to get together in those type of social environments to get to know each other on a personal level too.
Yeah, that's really great. Tom, what about you guys? I've heard rumors of all kinds of stuff. People playing volleyball, working from the homeless shelter. I mean, there's lots of legends about what goes on over at Bow Stern. So what kind of things what tactics do you employ?
Well, I mean, all those things. I think we try and find opportunities for the ways the company can serve together. Again, we want that service and give back to the community, not just to be a line item in our mission statement, but, by saying, hey, we're taking Friday and we're going to go to the Kearney Center and serve lunch. And no, you're not taking the day off, and yes, you're getting paid. We're going to invest in this and want to expose you to it. But yet we do all those kind of hipster fun things, and I love it. But I would like to tell you an area that we don't do well and didn't do well. And I really failed to see the importance of it. The fun stuff's easy to identify and grab, but we failed early on to recognize the importance of noting people's time with the company. Anniversaries would come and go.
I mean, talking about recognition, recognizing people's years of service, all in the company. Yeah.
Yeah, we were, and part of it was our just incredibly rapid growth. I mean, we didn't have an HR department, and we were just onboarding people. And I was like, how long has she been with us? 2 years, 3 years? How long has Jennifer Brownfield been with us?
How do you overcome that? I mean, how do you deal with that now?
Well, we empowered our directors to listen and to find out, you know, how things are going within the company. And one of the things they found out just from someone raising their hand and saying, you know, I had my 4-year anniversary and was so excited about, I knew when I started here and I love this company and I'm proud of it. And I can't believe I've been here 4 years. I'm so excited about the next four. And I don't know that anyone knows how long I've been here and that I've had this account for that long. And so I think we paid attention to that when we heard it. And then we didn't want to artificially create something where we all get around the putting green and, you know, sing happy anniversary or whatever.
Yeah, the birthday, the office space birthday party with
awkwardly sitting there.
Yeah,
yeah, but and it's not fake. But what I'd have now is we are a little more sophisticated and have a proper HR department. And I said, you know what? I want to know. We know when everybody's birthdays, and oddly enough, their kids' birthdays and their anniversaries and various things are. But you know, I want to report on who's been here, who has an anniversary this month, and we all, even though we're at 33 people, we all still know each other. So you know. Can we go to lunch? Leaving in a handwritten note on someone's chair, or I was going on a road trip with Raquel, who's one of our great account managers, and we were going to spend half the day in the car. And we were here at the office, and we were leading. And I was like, you know what, everybody, I'm so excited to spend Raquel's 4-year anniversary on a special road trip to Orlando. Just joking around because it was going to be a long day in the car, but I think it kind of surprised her that she, you know. That I knew it was her anniversary that day. And I just didn't realize that was important to people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I care. I just didn't know.
Sure. Yeah. Such a little thing. Mindy, you have, is that something that snuck up on you guys as you grew? And have you dealt with that?
No, I don't know how, but the founders recognized that that was important from the very beginning. So I look every week before I go downstairs on Friday and see, you know, who's had an anniversary in the last week. And so we recognize them and say, thank you for your 4 years of service or 8 years of service. And they, you know, they everyone else wants to recognize those people. You know, we do it for first year and we do it every other year after that. So, you know, it's not a long drawn out speech. It's thank you for your service and we appreciate you. And they just really get a kick out of that.
Yeah, it's such a small thing, but so important. One thing I think that people always talk about, everything you read, every CEO you see on a panel, they talk about the importance of building the right team and hiring for fit, making mm-hmm. sure that people feel fulfilled in their roles. Tom, how do you tell from an application and interview process if someone's going to be a good fit?
I know this answer and I hate the way it sounds because it sounds like it's out of a corny leadership book, but we really seek out passion and I don't care what it is, but I want to know that you have fire in your belly. So if we talk about your work and you feel passionate about your work and whatnot, that's great. But if we ask you when you're not working, what do you like to do? And somebody says, man, I love surfing. Like literally I will be missing work if there's surf because I love surf. That might be alarming. Most people are like, whoa, this is a renegade. I love that. I want somebody that has fire in their belly and excitement in their life and feels strongly about those things. And the workaholic is like, oh, I love to work and working is my, that doesn't do it for me. I mean, because I know that won't last. And if you have passion in certain parts of your life, it'll come over into others.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really insightful. One thing I have heard for your rumors of during your interview process is that there's a special team member who may sneak in interviews now and then. Can you tell us more about who Chet is and what his role is in hiring?
Yeah, we have a mannequin. It's probably a 1950s era department store boy mannequin. He's like 4.5 feet tall. And he's got the old 1950s hairstyle, his pink lips, and he's really creepy looking. Yeah. And
this gets better and better and better as you describe it.
Yeah, he has one arm and he's a little crooked standing, but we will put him in the corner of the room or near where the person will be sitting just to see how they react to it.
So you don't talk about it. You don't reference it. He's just in the room watching.
Yeah, he's just – and then just, frankly, some of the people that we love and end up doing well in the interview go – I'm sorry, what the hell is that? You're like, okay, I like you a lot, because how can you sit next to that and not say anything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. Mindy, how do you guys bring in new employees? I mean, what do you look for? What
Boy, we don't have a 1950s mannequin for sure.
Well, I don't think that's a common tactic. I would say that, Tom, you guys could probably productize that and make a fortune on that process.
I'm taking notes.
Oh my gosh. Don't do it. It's terrible.
Our interview process is more of a marathon rather than a sprint. We have the candidates come in. Really, it doesn't really matter which team they're interviewing for, and we have them meet with representatives from all across the company. They can't meet with all 41 of us, obviously, but they meet with support team members. They meet with software developers. They meet with some managers. So all separately. So there might be a session that has, you know, three people from three different teams, and oftentimes I take them to lunch. I want to see them interact. I want to see them answer the difficult questions, because that kind of structure of interview is challenging. Anyway, so I want to see how they react to that. We want people with integrity who are well spoken, who can admit, that's something that I don't know very much about. But here's my stab at it. I want them to be honest. I don't want the people who have a good story to tell with no heart behind it, right? And so we get to know them throughout the day, and we consult with the people who met with them and say, what do you think? Do you think they're a good fit? We don't all want to be cookie cutter, right? We don't all want to look the same or talk the same or act the same. We want a variety of different types of people.
And one thing I was going to say, what's really interesting about the fact that you have these people meet with all these different employees, see all the different roles. I'm wondering if that reflects that you had, over time, you had so many different roles and you saw so many different parts of the company. You were the first employee. Now you're the CEO.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that's part of it, right? I have seen and experienced and worked a lot of those different roles and a lot of those different departments. And, you know, everyone's important. Everyone's integral. We're all employee owners and we're all in this together. If one team fails, then the rest of us need to make sure that doesn't happen again. How can we work this together so that we succeed as a company?
One thing I would say is when it comes to company culture, as the owner or chief executive or leader of that organization, you don't have to create every opportunity. You don't always need a ton of programs. I think what you need to do is create the environment where that culture can thrive and then empower your directors or employees to build it and grow it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd say, Tom, you hit the nail on the head there when you're talking about empowering your employees. I want them to feel empowered that they can communicate the needs of the customer and solve those problems. And how do we solve those problems rather than, I have to check with my manager, right? So that empowerment in communicating with each other, with the other teams, and communicating with our customers and being a voice of the company to the customers and reflecting that integrity and sense of empowerment that they feel.
That's awesome.
Well, if one thing rings true from all what you guys have described, it's a sense of commitment building, community, respect among the teammates, and that filters out into relationships with clients, your competitive advantage in the workplace, and building a world-class company from right here in Tallahassee, Florida.
This has been a recording brought to you by Cuddlesoft, the idea-driven developers. For more on Tallahassee's startup community, the business of technology, and the latest in software development, visit www.cuddlesoft.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time for the next edition of the Startup Capital Podcast.